Hello. My name is Abby. It's good to see y'all this morning. That got your attention. Yeah. All right. Well, welcome. Good morning. It is great to be here with you guys today. Again, my name's Abby. I'm an elder here at FPC. And as always, it is an honor and a privilege to get to deliver God's message for you this morning. We are continuing still in our series called Credo, where we're going through the Apostles' Creed. We saw it read this morning. And we're thinking about what each of those different phrases mean, right? As we read it, we as kids memorize it sometimes. Maybe you probably, a lot of you memorized it. And it's what we claim to believe as Christians. And a lot of times, you know, we read through or we recite the creed and we just say the words and we're not thinking about what we're saying. And I love when we play that video and we get to watch it and it's broken up into all the different parts. And so it makes you think about each part as a different person is reading it every time. Your brain doesn't just stick on, you know, boring. It keeps going. So if we do that, and if we sit there and just read it and it's rote and boring, that's a shame, really, because we don't want it to be so rote that we just speak the words. We want to think about them. We want to give them a deeper meaning. And when Pastor John first asked me to preach this week, I was getting ready to go on a flight. And before I got on the plane, I read all about the message that I was going to have to give, and I saw it was the line in the Apostles' Creed, "He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty." It's about Jesus. I get the Jesus part. And it's not the part where he descends into hell. We let Pastor Zach talk about that last week. I get to talk about the fun part. And I get to talk about the throne room of God, which is really cool. And the work that Jesus has done and continues to do for us as his people as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And so I'm on the plane, and I'm like thinking about all the things I might talk about, or, you know, you gotta make an outline. Y'all have ever prepared something, but as I'm thinking about it, I had to get up and use that, you know, that tiny little restroom on the plane that you get to go use. And I do it, and when I get done, I come out, and I realize that one of the flight attendants has started doing really everyone's favorite thing on a plane, snacks. She started to hand out the snacks, and I realized that I'm in that front part, and she's right in front of me with that little cart. And she's got to go. She's, you know, asking people one by one, like, what would you like? Showing them the little thing, handing them out. You know, she takes her time. And so I realized in that moment, because I'm 10 rows back, that I'm just going to have to stand there. I'm just stuck right up there at the front and just, like, looking at people, and they're trying not to look at me. And as I'm standing there waiting for just like 2 minutes, but one of the flight attendants comes up to me and she comes up and shoos me out of that front area because you can't stand up there. And it's not safe for me to be there. And I get it. There's no loitering up front. And so, you know, with no other options, I like step inside in the aisle and make myself as tiny as possible. And there's this girl right here and I'm like just standing there, you know, it's awkward. But what I needed to be reminded of in that moment that to shoot out of that front area was that right behind me, there were a couple of pilots that needed to be protected. And they don't appreciate me or anyone else loitering up there. I don't care how innocent you look, you can't stand there. And it's not a great idea if you want to stay friends with any of the flight attendants or some air marshals on the plane. You just don't do it, right? So that pilot was up in that cockpit working for me. Even when I couldn't see him, even when I forgot about him, I was concerned with my own little issue about getting to my seat. I wasn't thinking about the pilot. He's in complete control of that little universe inside that plane, whether I acknowledge him or whether or not I even trust the guy, right? He's the one in charge. And so once I go back to my seat, I thought, well, that's like Jesus's work. Whether people acknowledge him or even trust in him or not, he's in complete control. And he's constantly working behind the scenes with my best interests in mind, whether I can see him or not. And what we're going to explore today as we kind of dig into this next phrase of the Apostles' Creed, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, is that we can have peace And we can have confidence amid life's journey of, because of Christ's work, both seen, we've seen his work, we read about it, and unseen, the stuff we don't really get to see right now. And we'll see how we can have peace because of his reigning power at the right hand of God, which is where he's sitting, and because of his intercession, the work he's doing. So we're going to start by looking at this authority that Jesus has and the proof that we have that Jesus is, in fact, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Did you know he had proof? People don't often think about Jesus as they're studying the Old Testament, but really, if we're going to start looking at the authority of Jesus and the proof that we have, it starts all the way back in the Old Testament, right there at the beginning, creation, right? And the Apostle John tells us that Jesus was present at creation. John calls him the Word, and starting in John 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," that is, Jesus. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." And then we see the Apostle Paul confirm this by saying in Colossians 1, starting in verse 16, he says, "For in him," Jesus, "all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So this verse tells us that Jesus isn't a created being. No, we don't believe that. We believe he is God. In him and through him, all things were created. He was working for our good and his own glory since before the beginning of time, as we know it, before any people on this earth ever existed. And so we know Jesus existed before creation, and we know that because he is an eternal being. He had no beginning. He has no end. So we'll keep that in mind now as we think about going past creation in our Old Testaments. And as you continue to read throughout it, how God establishes his chosen people. Y'all have heard of the Israelites, right? And they have this special relationship with him. They're his chosen ones. And of course, they have lots and lots of issues if you've read your Old Testament. But God still loves them, kind of like me. We all have issues, right? God still loves us. But as we read through what Israel goes through, we learn about a man named Daniel. And Daniel, who is a prophet to those people, the Israelites, he is a prophet to them while they are exiled in Babylon, away from their promised land. They were naughty, and God had to punish them, and the Babylonians took them away. So Daniel is now known among the rulers of Babylon for his wisdom and his ability to interpret dreams. He's a really good-looking guy. Like, for real, it says it in the Bible. And if God had favorites, I'm going to guarantee you Daniel's in the, like, top five of all time. So in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, we see that God gave Daniel a special vision. And it's pretty incredible, but the start of the vision begins with God the Father, who he refers to as the Ancient of Days, seated on a throne. And here's the scene. He sees God the Father. This is the throne room of God. He's seated on this throne. It's flaming with fire, with thousands upon thousands attending to him, standing around him in this throne room of heaven. He's getting this glimpse. And this throne room, it's not like anything any of us have seen with our eyes. The Apostle John got a glimpse of this throne room too. And in the book of Revelation, John writes about a vision that he had in his old age. And he writes in Revelation 4 all about how he sees this door open in heaven. And Jesus invites him to come up and see it. Come up and see it, because he wants it written down for us to be able to read and experience. And so he's standing, John, in this vision in the throne room of God. And he describes God in the only human terms he can even come up with, as one who sat on the throne, as having the appearance of jasper and ruby, A rainbow encircles the throne, so it's a full circle rainbow, which means our rainbow here on earth is only half of what we'll see. Isn't that cool? It's surrounded by 24 other thrones with 24 elders all sitting around him dressed in white. And from the throne, not only do we know that it's flaming from the last verse, this one says it's lightning and thundering. There are seven lamps blazing in front of the throne. There's a sea of glass. There are creatures flying all around the throne and multitudes of heavenly people singing and praising day and night. That is quite a glimpse of the throne room of heaven. And that's just what we can understand with our human brains as they are now. That's our picture. And that's what's going on at every moment of every day. And so here's what Daniel says as he sees, staring up, he described that throne room. This is what happens up in his vision in that throne room. So starting in Daniel 7, verse 13, he says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Daniel sees Jesus, who was like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. Clouds of heaven. And we know that this is Jesus because if you look forward in your New Testament from this point, Son of Man is actually the most frequent name Jesus uses to refer to himself. He's referring back to Daniel's description. And in this vision, Jesus comes up from the clouds. He approaches the Ancient of Days, referring to God the Father. And he's given authority and glory and sovereign power. He comes to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Daniel sees this happening. And what is shown here is that Jesus, the Son of Man, is equal to God the Father. Daniel got this beautiful vision of the throne room of God. And this, guys, this was somewhere back in like 553 BC. 553 years before Christ. Before Jesus was born. This is the vision. Jesus was there. Before Daniel had any idea who Jesus was, he got to see him. Because Jesus was existing there, and he's at work, and he's using his authority and sovereign power to govern the course of people in history. He's flying the plane before we ever even had any idea we were going to take a trip. He is at the right hand of God the Father, the Ancient of Days. And what is cool is that this prophecy was to get God's people ready. Right? They were awaiting the arrival of the Messiah for so long. Daniel got a glimpse. And through biblical prophecies like this very one, God reveals his truth and his plans to the rest of the world. And at that time, people, you know, prophets, they would get visions and they would make prophecies. And y'all, they didn't always have any idea what they were talking about. They were just words given from God that they wrote down or spoke. And so they didn't always know who they were talking about when they were writing these things. So as we go throughout the course of time in history, well, more and more is revealed to us with the help of the Holy Spirit, what those words even mean. The Holy Spirit guides and teaches us those prophecies. And when prophecies like this one are fulfilled, it validates the words of the Bible. We know it to be true. It reveals God's sovereignty over all people and time and history. And so here's what we know that Daniel did not know. We know that after Jesus was born, and after he lived a sinless life and died on behalf of all sinners, in that process, he also fulfilled all the prophecies in Scripture regarding his time here on earth. After all that, it wasn't the end for him. It wasn't the end. Why? Because we already know he's God. He's still going. After he died, only he in all of history had the power to overcome death. He was resurrected after 3 days, as Pastor Zach preached last week, as the first fruits of those who will be resurrected again. That's us. And the first fruits of those who put their faith on all of those facts. That's what he was doing. And we cling to that salvation that only Jesus can offer as believers in the Apostles' Creed. And so after the resurrection, you know, he died and he was raised again, but the work still wasn't done, right? He stayed on earth another 40 days. And he was here teaching the disciples all about the kingdom of God. It's like he wants us to know about it, right? And so after his teaching was done, he ascended up into heaven. And he sits in the throne room of God. The book of Acts tells us that after those 40 days of teaching, after he was resurrected, Jesus is sitting there and he's having a meal with his apostles and he's teaching them all about the Holy Spirit. You know, he's getting them ready. It's going to come upon them. And then it says in Acts 1:9, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. He just disappears into the clouds, y'all. That is what the people on earth saw as he went to go sit at the right hand of God the Father, the Ancient of Days, just like Daniel saw in his vision. He went right back to work in the heavenly realms. He didn't stop. But Jesus not only ascended into heaven to reign and to rule with God, but he also left us a gift. He left us a gift. He left us with the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit that lives inside of him, he left behind for us, living in us, so we can continue his work on earth while he's up there working. We're all working, right? So not only did he leave his Spirit here to empower and guide us, he went up to the Father not to just chill. You know, that was a hard 32 years plus 40 days, whatever that was. God, I'm going to take a break. I'm on vacation. No, he went right back up there to intercede for us. Because the work had to continue, right? To God the Father, he's continuously interceding for us at the right hand of the throne. What a blessing that is. What a God that is. He is at work, and his work is constant, and it's holy, and it is vital to our redemption. And I guess what I'm saying is that, he didn't die and battle death and evil for 3 days just to take a break. It's not in his nature. So here's a takeaway I want us to remember. Jesus is in the throne room of God and is actively working and caring for all people at all places forever. Forever. Remember from the vision, he was given authority and glory and sovereign power, and he's eternal because he's God. So his care for us never ends. It doesn't stop. So how would your thinking maybe change if you rested in the fact that Jesus is flying your plane? He's there. He knows the past, the present, and the future already perfectly. And he's constantly caring for his people just like he demonstrated physically on this earth. He did it perfectly. And that's the beautiful thing. His ministry continues. He didn't just show us love and compassion here. He shows us his love and his care for creation every second. We cannot see him with our eyes. Even when we forget about him, he has not forgotten us. So, in light of knowing that Jesus fulfilled that prophecy in Daniel's vision, so what? So what? What do we do with that? What do we do now? You might be like, great, Abby, great truths, but what do I take as I go home? Well, Jesus is up there. He's sovereign and he's powerful and he's working. But some of us still might ask, how does that affect me today? What difference does it even make? Well, let me take you back to the airplane, shall we? Let's go back. The adventures continue. On our flight home, y'all, before we even took off, I'm still thinking about it. They warned us there'd be some turbulence. What, they always say that, don't they? It's like always a warning they have because they want you to stay seated. They said there's going to be some turbulence along the eastern seaboard. Okay, great. It had given them trouble all day. They knew what to expect. It was coming. Fine. You know, we'll put our seatbelts on. But, Jason and I, we were together. It doesn't bother us. We're not nervous flyers. We just thought, okay, we'll just get a few little bumps. It'll be fun. We don't get nervous. So after that announcement, we didn't really think another second about it until the turbulence came. And let me tell you, we hit that spot along the eastern seaboard. And we were rocking up and down, and we were going side to side. I'm looking outside, and the wings are like flying up, and I'm like, we're gonna die. But more so than concern for my life, I was like, y'all, like I have never, I mean, my laptop was like flying. I had to like put it away. It was a lot. I don't know if I've ever had turbulence like that for so long. And a few minutes in, I start to get sweaty, and I'm nauseous. And it's not going away because the turbulence is still there. And I'm in the middle seat, and I'm about to toss every cookie I have in my stomach. All I could do was, there's a little window that I could see from my middle seat. I was looking out the window, and I was just trying to focus on the horizon. You could barely see it because the sun was going down. And I was staring at that horizon and praying as we're... So Jason told me that I needed to grab a little souvenir. I thought I would show you all. This is my proof, but I'm really glad I did not have to fill this thing up. It is unused. But I tell you this to make a point that my situation was dire, okay? There was nothing I could do to save myself from it. I clung to the horizon for any hope, but as believers, we have better hope than that. Thank goodness, because that barely worked that time. Okay, we don't want to live our lives, even when they're turbulent, just clinging to the horizon. Even, you know, if we look at the book of Hebrews, so now we're going to go to the New Testament. If you look in the book of Hebrews, it gives us some clarity on why it matters for our situations, for our ups and downs, that Jesus is up in heaven right now at that throne. So Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14 through 16, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. That's the part I want us to remember. Approach God's throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This tells us that Jesus, the very one now who the disciples watched ascend into heaven all the way up to the throne room of God to sit at the right hand of the Ancient of Days, is also our great high priest, which means that he is the one, the only one, who's willing and able to make intercession to God for us through sacrifice. So as our great high priest, he intervened on our behalf before God the Father to rescue us from the punishment of our sin. Y'all, we're all sinners. It's just a fact. And we cannot save ourselves. So he made, Jesus made himself the sacrifice, right? And he's still there at the right hand of that throne working and interceding on our behalf. And because of his work at the right hand of the throne, if we accept it, we have Christ's righteousness. And we are seen as clean and spotless in the eyes of God the Father. And you know what that means? That means you now have access to the throne room of God. It is no longer unapproachable. And you remember all those things up there singing. It was beautiful. Because Jesus transferred his righteousness over to believers, all of us, can now approach the throne of grace with confidence. We can speak to God the Father without needing an intercessor, right? We don't need an earthly priest to approach him for us because he's holier than us, because our great high priest already cleared that path. It's done. And so instead of living in the turbulence of life with your barf bag in your hand, hoping and praying that the hard times will stop before you break, we are now able, because of what Jesus did, because of who he is and where he is at the right hand of God the Father, to walk up to that throne in prayer and talk with God, our pilot. He's our pilot. And you now have the power to walk up to the front of that plane, and you can knock on the cockpit door, and that door is already open to you. And you can request from your pilot, hey, you know, maybe like,
let's change course. Or can we just go ahead and land? Or whatever he decides is best for you, because he's going to know the answer, right? It's a conversation with him. We can cry to him. We can ask him questions. We can celebrate with him in our victories. There's nothing too big for him to handle and nothing he hasn't seen already. He's also perfectly compassionate and loving and all-knowing. So he is able to make the choice that is right for you, even when you can't. And he's been in your seat before. He's been in the back of the plane, right? He knows the fear and the frustrations and the nausea because he's felt them too. And not only is he able to hear and understand what you're going through, he cares enough to do something about it. And he has the sovereign power over all things to steer your life into a place where you don't feel out of control. That is the amazing access Jesus has given us. We aren't shooed out of the way for the more important work to be done by people more important than us. No, we are all given free access to God, who's guiding us exactly how he knows best. So as your situations change, work gets insane, people disappoint you, or you literally need a barf bag, I don't know, maybe, approach the throne. That's the answer. We can have peace knowing that Jesus is eternally at the Father's side, allowing us access to God's amazing power and strength. We can boldly and confidently walk up to that door and ask for his help or the right words to say or clear direction on a decision. We can trust our good and almighty God is always there, listening and guiding and directing. So how can you find a little more peace this week as you think about your ability to approach the throne of grace with confidence? Let's pray. Lord God, we are in awe of you. We are so grateful for all of the ways you care for us, that you love us, you guide us, empower us, and save us. We know you sit enthroned above the circle of the earth. Thank you for allowing us a glimpse into your throne room so that we can know that you are there constantly watching over us and caring for us and intervening on our behalf. And thank you that we have the ability through the saving work of Christ to approach your throne of grace with confidence, God. But we pray that you would give us each a peace that passes all understanding as we bring our joys and our struggles at your feet. Allow us to go out of this place with confidence, knowing that whatever comes our way, you are there to provide everything we need and desire what's best for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.